This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Royal Daltons with Michael and Glenn on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, great to have your company on your Wednesday afternoon. A big hello to Florence, who was not well last week, but she's written in to let us know that she's all back to normal.
I'm glad to hear it.
Oh, we've been worried sick, haven't we?
Yes, if it took a whole week.
My God.
It'd be very bad.
Now, Michael Dalton, one of, let's say, probably the most iconic movies in the GLBTI community over the last 20 years, and maybe even ever, is a movie called The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. 20 years ago it came out.
I know, we remember where we were when we watched
it. Well, we just mentioned that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
But this man has been part of an important documentary which basically gets into the bare bones of it. His name is Alex Barry, and we say welcome to the Royal Daltons.
Hello, thank you very much.
Now, this is called Between a Frock and a Hard Place. It airs on Thursday, tomorrow, on the ABC. What led to this being put together?
It started with the ABC approaching us and wanting to do something around the 20th anniversary of the feature film Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And we didn't want to just do a straightforward making of film, you know. So we started thinking about how can we make this a bit meatier and a bit more interesting. And so we hit on the idea of weaving two narratives together. So trying to look at the social history in the decades preceding Priscilla and weave those two narratives together. So to try to find the points of intersection from the film that we could track back into the social history that came before it. And it turns out that, you know, a lot the people that were involved in making the film, you know, some of them are in their 30s or 40s. So they had been leaving the suburbs of Sydney and Melbourne and other cities, coming into the centre of town to find something different. And so their personal stories actually gave us a lot of fodder to be able to explore that social history. And then we would then, of course, went to people who weren't in the film but who were very involved in activism or the beginnings of Mardi Gras and that kind of thing. So that was how the idea developed.
So what's your view on how a movie like Priscilla did change culture?
Well, I think that Priscilla didn't necessarily... I mean, it definitely was a breakthrough film and a kind of catalyst of a film. But it also arrived at exactly the right time, you know. Hugo Weaving in the documentary talks about how it rode this great wave, and the wave is what's been building up in all the work and the struggles that the previous generation of people in the gay community from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, all the work that they've done. And then Priscilla arrives at this perfect moment where the world, it's like the world is ready for that kind of film, and they're ready to look at gay culture in a different way. And in a sense, it did have something unique about it as well, which was that it hit on the idea of music, of drag, which is colourful and relatable, and drag queens are this, you know, in a sense, they kind of partake of the Australian vernacular, you know, the Australian sense of humour, and the quick put-down, you know. They're used to hostile audiences, cutting their teeth in audiences that'll shout things out, and they know how to put someone in their place with a few words and use humour to do it. And so they were kind of like the perfect warriors, you know, the perfect soldiers to go out there and take the sort of message of acceptance.
It must have been lovely having Terence Stamp narrate it for you.
Yes, it was. And I'll tell you a funny story, which is I went to meet him in London, and Paul Clark, the other director and writer, we'd hit on the idea of having Terence Stamp narrate the film rather than just be an interviewee, and that he would narrate it as himself, as Terence Stamp, so he'd tell us about his experience of doing the film, but he'd also sort of narrate it as Bernadette, as his character.
Right.
So he would comment on things, and he would sort of interject occasionally. And so we'd we'd booked him in, he'd agreed to do the narration, but we hadn't told him exactly what we were thinking of how, you know, we were going to do that. And so my job was to go and break the news to him that we didn't just want him to sit in the studio and do the voice, that we wanted him to actually tell his own personal story.
Was he good with that?
Well, he was... He was a bit, you know, I think he was a bit annoyed.
Thanks for the warning, kind of annoyed, yeah.
That he'd been sprung.
Yes.
But it was also funny because I met him in the cafe on the level 5 of Harvey Nicks, which is this very posh department store in London. And I was there first, and then I was sort of scanning, and I saw this man walking in, and he literally looked like a homeless person. I mean, like he had a T-shirt.
He's an actor.
He had a sort of grey T-shirt with holes in it, and he had these sort of cargo pants, sort of ill-fitting cargo pants, and sandals with sort of like gnarly toenails. And and he sat down, and he kind of had that old man sort of smell about him, you know. And I was going, fuck it, oh God. But then as soon as it was
That's
amazing
hilarious.
Because as soon as he started talking,
yes.
And as soon as I, you know, you lock into his eyes, which are just amazing,
right.
His eyes are just so commanding, then it was just instant movie star, you know. Yeah. Like as soon as he started talking, it was... There was
Terrence Stamp. Yeah, it was an amazing role for him and for all of them, really, all the men in it, but mainly Terrence. And, you know, those sort of roles don't come around very often, I don't think. You know, but you've got to be willing to do them. That's the point.
Absolutely. And he was terrified, you know.
Right.
And he didn't realise, or maybe he was suppressing the fact that he was scared of it. So initially when he was presented with the offer... He was very dismissive. He said, "Oh, it's sort of a bit of a predictable, silly film, isn't it?" You know, and it took a friend of his called Caroline Bliss, who was with him at the time when he was talking to his agent. And his friend Caroline said, "Just say yes and hang up."
You know, great.
Thank God.
Recognised that he was scared. You know, he was scared of not being able to do it, and he was confronted by the idea of becoming a woman. You know, it was confronting to him, so he had to overcome that.
I think you know, could have easily have been done in a way that it was more, you know, dismissive and not
mocking
and not the movie that it actually turned out to be.
Mm, absolutely, yeah.
So part of the documentary, you talk to Hugo, you have Terrence. Who else is interviewed as part of the process?
So in terms of people who were involved in the film, there's also Guy Pearce,
who's
very, very funny.
Yes.
And... you know, we discovered that Guy had a musical theatre background, so he was very comfortable in a pair of heels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's this wonderful moment where before they head out into the desert to start filming, they go out on the town in drag to see what it's like, you know. So they hit Oxford Street. They go to DCM's on Oxford Street.
Mm-hmm.
And all in drag. And Guy has an absolute whale of a time, and he's just, you know... revolting, basically. He just can't stick all over the place and is just having way too much fun.
Great.
Hugo passes out underneath the table.
Brilliant. Sounds like a normal night in Oxford Street.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Terrence sits in the corner, you know, very disapproving.
Yes.
I love
Sipping
it.
Sipping a Malibu.
Yeah. Well, it's called Between a Frock and a Hard Place, tomorrow night, 8:30 on the ABC, followed by a special edition of Q&A, where panellists will engage in a lively discussion about the issues of our changing attitudes to homosexuality and masculinity. We can't wait for this.
Yeah, brilliant.
Great.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks. Nice to talk to you.
Bye-bye, mate. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Alex Barry there. Yes, as we say, check out the documentary Between a Frock and a Hard Place, a story of how the adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, changed the culture.
The Royal Daltons on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, great to have your company on your Wednesday afternoon. It's Glenn and it's Michael, but we are also joined by a few others, aren't we, Michael
There's
Dalton?
Millions in here.
Well, maybe not millions, but certainly quite a number. They are the vocal stylings of both Suede and Ginger and Tonic. Welcome, guys.
Thank you very much.
Oh, hi. Look, it's great to have you here. Now, you guys are two separate vocal groups, but you're doing a show together as part of the Melbourne Cabaret Festival. Emma, I'm going to start with you. Why on earth would you subject yourself to that?
That is a really, really good question. Something we're still struggling with in rehearsal.
Yes.
No, look, we have known David and Neville from the Melbourne Cabaret Festival for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we just really wanted to do the festival again. And they said, well, you know the group Suede. Have you ever thought about collaborating with them? This could be a really great opportunity for both of you. And it's been a lot of fun so far.
Well, you talked to David and Neville. The Cabaret Festival opens tomorrow night with a gala. And they were looking for new acts, new experiences, weren't they?
Absolutely.
Rather than just getting...
That's why Dolly Diamond's not doing it, because it's just like all the old acts.
She's unwelcomed. But no, it's great, I think. It's what they wanted to make it new, so that audience would get to see different groups. And this is obviously that, isn't it? This is a different lineup. You've not worked with them, they've not worked with you.
No.
And that way, if you enjoy the music of both of you, you get to see it in a different light.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what the guys are doing with the festival is extremely brave.
Yep.
And, you know, it's providing some fantastic opportunities for a lot of acts that perhaps haven't had that opportunity before. And it's great for us to get to work together. Yeah.
Now, Loz, what is it you come from the Suede part of the equation? What is it that Suede do if people don't know?
Well, Suede, much like Ginger and Tonic, is an a cappella band. We do everything... everything with our voices and other body noises. So
there might be like beatboxing kind of thing.
There's a little bit of beatboxing goes on.
Not necessarily passing wind or anything like that.
If you could do it musically, you'd be in, wouldn't it?
Well, you never I guess.
I'm not touching that. But look, to be honest, I just got 3 million views on a YouTube video where I did make a symphonic arrangement of a particularly musical fart that I did.
But
I'm not here to talk about that.
He's not even joking about that.
Oh,
I was wondering if he'd find a way to work
it
in, and he did.
I think I brought
that
it up.
That wasn't my fault. Come on, I can't be blamed for that.
Listen, I think if you get 3 million, then you're doing all right.
You're welcome to, yeah. Did you put an ad on that? Are you now a billionaire?
I'm kind of hoping to make a little bit of money. My ass has an agent now in Ireland.
Exactly.
You're not the only one for that.
How did you make your fortune?
Mainly voices, a little bit of beatboxing, and but obviously when you have an all-male a cappella group, you tend to be rather heavy on the bottom end, and I've certainly been accused of that. And when you've got an all-female a cappella group, you tend to be on the trebly side, so this is an opportunity for us to... spread across the spectrum.
Yeah, combining it. And if we're going to watch this, then we're going along to watch. What do we expect? I guess because you girls definitely like to play around as well. You muck about it. You know what I mean by that.
I do.
It isn't just, it's not just straight music, so to speak.
No. I mean, look, the bottom line is Ginger and Tonic are still desperate and dateless. So we are coming together with the boys with the hope that, I don't know.
You good in comparison.
Is there...
I think that goes without saying, Glenn.
There could be some romance in the air. The boys are open to it. We're open to it. Anything could happen.
Boys are
and
open
it probably
to most
will.
Things,
exactly. Very incorrigible, aren't they?
So, can you give us a little bit of a hint of what numbers people are going to see?
Well, that's the exciting thing. So, we've got a bit of basically 90% of the show is original music.
Wow.
So, Jane and a few of the boys from Suede have been working really hard writing these original songs for the show, specifically to fit into what we needed. And they're fantastic. And we're going to do one of them for you today. And we've never performed it before. So that's a bit exciting.
All right. Yeah. So where did this song come from? What's this song about?
This is straight from the brain of Jane.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a frightening place, but,
Jane's kind of had a little...
Come in, Jane. Well, come closer.
A few life experiences, it pretty much speaks for itself.
Okay. Well, I think that...
We need to listen, don't we?
Yeah, this is the perfect opportunity, the world premiere, some would say, of Suede and Ginger and Tonic.
Smoothie to go is the
indeed,
name of the track.
Smoothie to go. Take it away.
One, 2, 3, 4. He started out making sex eyes at me.
Sex eyes.
That brought me to my knees. He kept it up and I played right into his hand. He sucked me in, I was at his command. We went back to his place, he was really sweet. until the morning when he said to me,
"Morning, babe. I had a really good night. Was your pillow satisfactory? Did you sleep all right? Here, I've made you a smoothie. I know you like those, but now I've got to clean my flat so you can take it to go."
Just another dud.
What a dud.
In the game of love, you couldn't wait to have me leaving. Could have made up a better reason. My future flashed before my eyes. We'd have lots of babies, and I would be his wife. We went back to his place, 'cause he just lived nearby. Then in the morning, my dreams all went awry.
Morning, babe, I had a really good night. Was your pillow satisfactory? Did you sleep all right? See, I'm totally a runner. Here, I've got some running shoes, and I'm going for a run, so you better leave too.
Just another dud.
What
a dud. In the game of love, you couldn't wait to have me leaving. Could have made up a better reason. After that, I swore I'd never again go home with a man before he was my boyfriend. So there I was with a guy on our 10th date, the conversation flowing, it was going great. It was long enough that he had done the chase. I thought the time is right, and we went back to his place. But then...
Morning, babe. I had a really good night. Was your pillow satisfactory? Did you sleep all right? I really like you, so don't take this the wrong way, but you're gonna have to leave. I've got some bills to pay.
What?
So many duds. Where do the duds all come from? So many duds. So many duds. Where can I find someone I like? A man who isn't just another dud.
No more duds.
In the game of love, you couldn't wait to have me leaving. Could have made up a better reason. Oh, just another dud. In the game of love, well, you can rest assured I'm leaving. 'Cause I don't want, no, I don't want just another dud.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, my word, you guys are brilliant. Brilliant. I think you need to get that out. You need to release that.
Oh, I loved it, loved it, loved it.
Wow, fantastic. Now, when does all this kick off, Glenn?
Now, it's called A Match Made in Harmony, the vocal stylings of Suede, together with Ginger and Tonic. It's at Chapel of Chapel as part of the Melbourne Cabaret Festival. It kicks off on the 19th of June. Selected dates, not every night, but finishes up on the 27th. As I say, go to melbournecabaret.com. A Match Made in Harmony.
And you bloody well are.
Can't wait. Oh.
We love it. We love Thanks, it. Michael. I got a little snap Thanks. Of that. You're on our Facebook.
Oh, put us on your Facebook.
Oh, yes.
Do it.
Oh, yes.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Good on you.
The Royal Daltons with Michael and Glenn on Joy 94.9.
It's great to have your company. 22 minutes to 6 on your Wednesday afternoon. Requests after 6 o'clock are all about people who are no longer with us.
Yeah, we thought we'd give them, we'd breathe a bit of life back into them.
Yep, so if you've got one.
Like Michael Jackson.
Whitney.
Amy Winehouse.
Elvis. 0427JOY949 or email on her at joy.org.au.
Now, we're not alone, are we?
No, we are not alone. We've been excited to welcome this woman because, well, we have done the apps, haven't we?
We've done the apps. We mention the apps nearly every week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I gave them up, but I brought them back in.
Well, they can be addictive, and someone who might know a little bit about that is Noni McCallum, and she's got a show called Tinderella, but God, welcome to the Royal Daltons.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we want to know, because you've been on the apps, I guess, because you have to have been.
Well, it's inspired your show.
Yeah, it started when I was in New York for about 6 months, and my friend said, it's the only way we do it over here. Everybody's online. That's how you
Because everybody date. Used to go out dating, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And I love a date.
I do.
I'm a big fan of a date rather than, you know.
A hookup.
A hookup, right. All of that.
Mm. I'm all right with both.
You've got to be versatile.
Yeah, exactly. No.
I've tried most of them, except for Plenty of Fish. I thought it would be a good idea to avoid fishing in the same pond as my mum.
Oh, God, imagine that.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Is it for more oldies?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh. I'm assuming your mum's older. It's
She is older than me. Just.
She has to
Good.
Be.
Yeah,
surely.
So, yeah.
At least 9 months.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. So what's your experience on Tinder been? If people don't know what Tinder is, it's like a big app and you just get the photo, which is actually extracted from the person's Facebook, and then you just say swipe yes or swipe no, swipe left or swipe right.
Yeah, that's right. I prefer Tinder. Because I don't think you build up as much expectation as you do with full profiles. Mm. You know, when you have a bit of, oh, he likes to do this and these are his hobbies, he earns this much and he works in this. And
they
you
never
create,
say that on the gay ones, do they?
You create this idea of the person and that's not necessarily true. Whereas with Tinder, it's kind of... hot or not. That's it.
I think you're exactly right. And that's one of the big things about online dating is that you end up creating this, everything that you don't know about the person. And what are you going to fill that up with? You're not going to fill that up with characteristics you don't like.
Yeah, but also you lose that that great first date material.
Mm.
If you know all of that already, what do you talk about when you meet them? I love that first meeting where you do the, I'm from here, I grew up there, I have these brothers or sisters, and I don't like eggplant, you know?
Yeah. Have you done a lot of that then? Have you gone on dates?
Heaps.
Right.
Yes. And for the last 6 weeks, my very close friends have been operating my Tinder for me and setting me up on dates that I have
really?
To go on. Yeah. I keep a blog about it on my website.
Right. Give us your website.
You can actually access it via my Facebook page as well. So Facebook.com/Noni Mook.
Yeah, easy.
Noni Mook.
Yeah, and it's called Swipe Right, is my blog.
So you put all of this stuff into a show called Tinderella, which basically does what?
Tinderella is... Well, it's kind of shared experience, really. These are stories that everybody has. They just happen to be my stories, but they're so relatable. You know, bad kisses. For me personally, a lot of teenage faulty gaydar. And all sorts of things, like the kind of things not to talk about on first dates. It's an evening of my reminiscences, but
well,
something
like,
that everyone
yeah,
can
dating
understand.
Disasters that people can relate to.
Yeah.
Yes, although this young lady has the most amazing voice.
So you intercept it with song.
We do, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, I've never used it,
right?
So you've brought in your mobile, which you actually give around to the audience,
this,
don't you?
Yeah, this is called the Tinder phone. So it's a separate phone that only has Tinder on it.
Oh, wow.
And this is what my friends have had for the last 6 weeks. And now, because I'm done with my friends' dates, now I'm only going on audience dates. So you're swiping tonight in the studio,
yes,
I might go on a date from one of your matches
now,
this Saturday.
If I don't reckon he's right, do I...
You swipe left.
You swipe left. Now, right. You know, obviously this radio is difficult for me to... But
you can describe it.
Yeah, I just don't believe... Because it's all about what your little photo does, isn't it? Mm. You know, and
yeah.
If you're... Say, you know, whether you're gorgeous or whatever it... Or hideous or whatever it is, I think it's about... The guy just looks like he's trying a bit too much.
Sure, yes.
Would be my guess. But I just feel a bit mean going, no.
He doesn't know.
No.
So don't feel too bad.
All right.
But if you're not quite sure...
There's no way he knows.
There's no way he knows.
All right.
If you're not quite sure, you can click on his picture and he might have other pictures that can convince you.
All right.
So I'm just logging into it. What do you think of this guy, Michael?
No.
Yeah.
I think when you're wearing your 3D glasses...
And smoking a cigar in your profile shot, rob a 21-year-old, I'm putting no there. Sorry.
All right. Yes, there's a few no's. And wow.
Well, we're going to go to a song. You're going to keep doing this.
Yeah, but I'm going to get you a date. I'm going to get you a date.
Let us know your Tinder experiences or dating experiences. 0427-JOY949 or email honor@joy.org.au.
The Royal Daltons with Michael and Glenn on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, and we're joined by Nona McCallum, who's got a show called Tinderella, and we've been Tindering all through that last song.
Yes. Now, what I wanted to ask is, if I swipe left, that means I don't want him.
Yes.
Can you get them back?
Look, every now and then you change the settings or there's an update or something and you do see the same people again. I don't think you're supposed to see them again, right. But we see them all the time.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'd heard that they do come back.
Yeah.
Mm. And so basically you put this show together where you tell stories of the dates you've been on.
Yeah, it's some of them are dates that I've been on. Some are just... terrific songs about meeting new people.
And are these original songs?
No. Mm-hmm. No, a lot of fairly old school musical theatre.
Give us a bit of a hint.
Oh, we've got...
Well, I believe one was written by Eddie, Mr. Eddie.
Yes, there's an Eddie Perfect song in there. I sing the IKEA song. I sing a big medley of all the songs that didn't quite make the cut.
Oh.
What else? We've got a bit of Single Ladies in there.
Well, with your voice, it'll be brilliant.
Fabulous. Now have we got Noni a date yet?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
good.
I got one. He seemed nice.
Terrific.
You know, and he was drinking a pint of lager. He's got a beard.
Is that... And how does that tickle your fancy, Noni?
Absolutely. I go for beard.
A beard will tickle your fancy, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
It'll tickle something.
Yeah.
No, perfect.
He seems like a nice bloke.
Terrific. Yeah. Well, you know... Nice is a good start.
Yeah.
Well, we have to get along and see the show to find out how it all went, I think, potentially. But it is called Tinderella. It's happening at Chapel Off Chapel. It kicks off on the 25th of June, so not too far away.
Goes
to the 27th.
Yep.
If you want to know more about it, go to melbournecabaret.com. Noni, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, it's been lovely to have your company, but guess what, Michael?
Whoa.
We've reached the end of the concert.
Oh, no.
Even
more, next week is our last week. We're going on holiday.
Yeah, we're having a couple of months off.
Yeah.
Yes, so we are going to be here next week, but it will be our final show. So we
it's going to be emotional.
We expect it will be emotional.
Yeah, well, I'm going to let one. Now I know I will.
Happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, big thank you to Andy on the front desk, Gary and Tam on the news.
Yeah.
Thanks for all your requests and
see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.